Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and Mark Brunel. Sponsored by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
Good evening and welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studio.
Stop laughing.
Welcome to the Mark Brunel Hour.
Mark, what did we learn this week?
Oh, we're just going to jump right into this.
Yeah, what did we learn this week?
You know what? Let me say this, and I could probably take up this whole show. And I will say this. I learned a lot, obviously, this week. And the one thing I learned is that, well, there are many things, but the one that pops into my mind is that, you know, when you make strong comments on any issue or any team or any player, you know, you're going to upset some people. I made some comments about the Seattle Seahawks. I said they weren't an elite team. Got hammered. Made some comments about the Redskins, Merriweather, Dez Bryant with the Cowboys, and you get a lot of feedback on this, you know, this thing that Jeff is brilliant about and not having is Twitter. And I don't care about that.
Right.
That's just part of the gig up there. You're going to make, you know,
well, that's
make
what
your
want.
Opinions, and you're going to make comments. But the one thing, the only one that I do care about is offending and upsetting Jaguar fans, and that has just been rough. I regret my comments. They were insensitive. It obviously is a hot topic, and for that, I feel terrible. You know, it's been a rough couple days. And rightly so, you know,
I'm surprised Episcopal didn't fire you.
I'm sure they thought about it. I'll tell you what, you know what, it wasn't, you know, on campus. I mean, my coaches wouldn't even talk to me. We're on the field last couple, they're ticked off. So it was tough. You know, it was my debut.
Right. Well, you have to
I had an opportunity and I you know, all, you know, you get a bunch of questions, and most of the time you're prepared. You know what they're going to ask you. You know, I went into Mike and Mike, and it was casual, it was lighthearted, and I made the mistake of not being prepared. I should have went up there. I should have got on that plane and went up to Bristol knowing, hey, this is going to come my way. Be prepared. I wasn't. You know, I threw some comments out.
All right, so now you're prepared. Do you think the Jaguars will ever be in London?
You know what? I don't know if anybody will ever be in London. Obviously, there's going to be some games. And is it a possibility that there will be a permanent London, you know, a team in London down the road? Maybe. I don't know.
Can I tell you the only thing I hoped you learned from this week? If you're going to say something crazy, say it on our air. Let us have the fun of creating that kind of momentum.
Yeah. You know what I said?
You know what you said?
I said, someone must have slipped something in his coffee before he went on Mike and Mike. I'm like, my goodness. I was sitting there driving home, before I got in the car, I was down in Volusia County. I'm looking at my phone, and my Twitter is, like, going crazy. It's like, what's wrong with Brunel? And some things that you can't really repeat on the air. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then I listened to it, and I'm like, what did my boy do?
But in the end, it's an opinion. And that's what people want. They want an opinion either way. They just don't want you to go,
yeah, but
I just
here's
don't
the
know.
Thing. And listen, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, he gets paid.
Yeah, to have an opinion.
To have an opinion. I completely 100% disagree and think it's an asinine opinion.
Which does not surprise him,
no,
I'm sure.
Only because of the – and listen, and I said that on Twitter, and people were like, oh, you're only saying that because you get paid by the Jaguars. I said, wait a second. I've been preaching this message long before I ever got paid by the Jaguars and ever as a part of this organization.
I can testify to that.
And you can testify to that. And here's the reason why I say it. Number one, I agree with Mark in the sense that it's a long – I mean, having a team in London, we can't even figure as an NFL how to get a team in L.A. And we're just going to jump the Atlantic Ocean and go to a place that has logistic issues, has tax implications, and don't even know if there's a fan base that will support a team for 8 home games in the regular season plus 2 preseason games. I mean, come on. I mean, that's a huge jump. That's the first reason. The second reason is we have an owner who bought this team and said he's not going anywhere. He's invested $30 million into the facility after it gets approved for the scoreboards and everything else, bringing the largest scoreboards in the entire world. I mean, that's my...
And he's really embraced the Jacksonville business community by bringing them along, which they were all on the plane.
All around us.
Well, and let me say, so it goes to the next level, is he's leading the charge. And so that's why, listen, I'm with it. Listen, I know exactly what happens in those situations. We've all been in interviews.
It's what we do.
And you, but no, not even that. You get asked a question, and you might be saying, you're thinking, you know, it's not even a big deal. You're just talking about, listen, it's a possibility. Because if you listen to the quote of what Mark said, he's saying, could it be a possibility? Yeah, I mean, I could see it. But when you hear it on such a sensitive issue like he's talking about, then everyone immediately goes to the worst case scenario.
Right.
I mean, I don't think, I mean, and Mark can speak for himself, and we've talked about it. I don't think there's anything in him that thinks the Jaguars are leaving town in 3 years or that he wants them to leave town.
No, that is for sure. I mean, the Jaguars leaving here would be horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible for our community, our fan base, obviously, you know, tons of reasons why. And I certainly do not want that to happen, nor do any of us.
No, I didn't. My eyebrows actually went, that's interesting. But I don't mind strong opinions either way, because in our business, if you're a columnist for a newspaper or you're a radio host, you want people to either like you or don't like you, but you do not want them to not care about you.
I made the comment on our Tuesday night television show.
Yeah.
Because we were showing the highlights of the team coming out with the British flag.
Right.
And I said, did I just see Mark Brunell coming out of that tunnel with a British flag? The Union Jack? Did I just see that?
It made it fun.
Took a little shot at you there, Mark.
Yeah, I know. I'm laughing. Rolling right now. It's I couldn't talk. I was laughing so hard.
My favorite comment, though, seriously. My favorite comment is Mark made. He goes, maybe I should move to London.
I think a lot of our listeners right now wouldn't mind. They'd probably buy my plane ticket.
Well, let's find out.
355-NFL-1. 800-355-6351. Frank is on the west side of town. Hello, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brian. Hey, guys. I kind of got a two-part question here. One, why does there seem to be so many people involved in the NFL that seem to be energized about a team, any team, playing overseas, for one? And two...
Hold on. Stop right there. Let's answer that question
one
first.
One word.
Because, okay. I wasn't exactly sure, but until we got to London and you saw a city that has more people than New York City and has more money than New York City. The NFL is a business, and businesses want to tap into potential income. Right next to the hotel that we were staying at, which we stayed at the Grosvenor House, there was another hotel right next door.
The Dorchester Hotel.
The Dorchester Hotel. It had a car parked out front
that
was worth £2 million.
I flew it over.
£2 million. You would see high-end car dealership after car dealership, which in the States you'd see them parked inside in the glass display cases over there. Those high-end cars were parked outside like they were VW Bugs.
I was going to say, or you see, Bentleys are like Toyota Camrys over there.
That's the reason why the league wants to be in London, because of the potential for income.
Money.
Okay, now you can continue on.
That's sad. It's an American game.
I disagree totally with you. 100%. First of all, it is our game. But guess
it's
what?
American.
But here's the thing. I think it's the greatest game ever invented. I want as many people as possible. It doesn't scare.
Well, you know, it'll be Europeanized. And
what do you mean Europeanized? What does that mean? What are they going to do? What are they going to change? I mean, honestly.
Who knows? And it's an American classic. And I'd rather see a battle.
You are so wrong. You are so wrong.
All right, so hold on. Now go ahead and get to the second question that you have.
You are, because here's the thing. It's good. Listen, first of all, Jacksonville playing in London one game a year is good for us.
Yes.
Americans in Jacksonville. And I know you're afraid of any other people group liking our game, but, you know, it's okay. Don't get scared.
It's an American game. I know you guys played it, but it's an American game. I don't want the Princess Diana... the pageantry of it, it's NFL. I'd rather see a battle in Cleveland than I would London or Saudi Arabia or somewhere.
Well, guess what, Frank? I know one thing. That
you're going to have to turn off some games because they're going to play over there.
The ability for this team to play in London makes this even better. I mean, and for two reasons. One, the financial gain that this team could have in London by playing one game in each of the next 3 years now. But then also, you talk about the exposure and a fan base that you could expand it by, but then also you could talk about the business development potential that could come from the exposure. I mean, you had the name Jacksonville all over London for an entire week. That's good.
Well, and I'll say this. Here's the deal. Stop being afraid. One of the things that bothers me, listen, Mark's my best friend in the world. I disagree with the comments. We disagree with a lot of things. But you know what actually bothered me? Is that it scared everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you afraid of? We have an owner who's committed here. A team being in London doesn't scare me. It doesn't scare me. I was at the press conference. It was me, Roger Goodell, and Joe Montana doing a fan Q&A. The fans asked about a team being in L.A. and London. And Roger Goodell basically said, that's a possibility. I think it'd be good. I mean, just very general. To the average person here, that scares them to death. What are you afraid of? We have an owner who is committed to our community, who is put up, is investing, wants it to work here. Stop being afraid of it. That should not scare you. I don't care what the national media says. I don't care what anyone else says. All I care is what's happening here. It's good for Jacksonville to be playing a game in London.
I care what Mark Brunell says.
I do too. But I'm just
Thanks,
saying.
Guys.
Did you have anything else, Frank, that you wanted to jump in on?
No. It's just that, I mean, that's just what's in my heart. I'd better see a game played from Cleveland than one in London. I mean, you guys see it differently. You see money.
I'd rather go to London than Cleveland.
I don't care about, well, okay.
All right. We agree on something.
That'll do it. And we're gonna leave on that agreement point, Frank. We appreciate your call.
Leave on a positive note.
Bill's on the south side. Hello, Bill. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, fellas? I'd like to come to Mark Brunell's defense a little bit, but I'd like to also point out one thing to Jeff Lyman about all the, you know, they got more people in London, more money in London, but they also have more crime in London than on any street in the United States.
I was really scared out there.
Did you feel threatened? I felt threatened
the entire time I was walking around. I mean, I actually asked for an armed bodyguard to walk with me because I was nervous.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's statistically proven. More.
What does
that
have to do with anything?
Else.
Bill, what does that have to do with anything, honestly? That has nothing to do with anything we're talking about. I mean, I'm sure there's a show that talks about crime and police and all that stuff, and I'm sure it's very interesting.
I will say this, Bill. It's a remarkable city with a lot of history, and I didn't know what to expect going over there, and it was pretty cool.
Had you been there before?
I'd never been there before, and I would encourage any Jaguar fan next year.
It's a great week.
If given the opportunity, go, because it is a trip of a lifetime.
Yeah, can I mention, you know, Mark's statement? Look, boy, they come out of the woodwork jumping on him about that, but, you know, when you look back, well, first of all, they're talking about developing a fan base in London for the Jaguars. Well, why are you doing that if you're going to leave? Another thing is when Shad Khan had an interview in London when he was announcing that we're going to be there for 4 years, they asked him, well, are you going to move here? He said, no, we have a contract for 4 years, and then we'll see what the NFL has planned or wants to do is what his answer was. But nobody jumped on him for that, because that tells me that, well, if NFL wants us to move there, then he's going to move there.
Well,
Mark Brunell didn't say anything that other people haven't assumed based on other things that have happened, you know?
Well, it's so early in the process. You know, when we were there at Trafalgar Square, I had a conversation about 15, 20 minutes with Roger Goodell, and he said, Jeff, he said, look, if you were playing today, he said, would you play for a team in London? So he's asking questions.
Would you?
No.
I wouldn't either.
I would not.
Tax rate, 65%.
I would not.
I'm not playing over there.
Culturally, travel, away from family, financial implications. And so when he's asking, you know, me or Tony or anybody else, former players, and even talking to some of the current players about that, they're trying to feel it out, because logistically it would be unbelievably
brutal.
Hard to
Mark,
have
you
a
played
team
over there
in London.
I played a game over there, and it was and I know that, you know, I don't know if you've talked to the, you know, current players, did they have a good experience? I mean, was their week good?
We lost 42.
Well, obviously the game didn't go well, but as far as the week, I could tell you, for, you know, when I was with the Saints going over there for a week, it was miserable, guys. It was a miserable week. We were an hour and a half out, not in a nice place that you guys were at. It was all business.
We weren't at a nice place, me and Tony.
Yeah, no, but the team was.
Team was at a pretty nice place, I hear. But wasn't. I mean, it wasn't an enjoyable week. I mean, there were no events. There was no sightseeing. There was nothing. It was business. And
You're the Mark, and I real quick question. We got to go to break, but Mark, you're the only one of us who played the game that actually played over there for a week. What about? I mean, if they figured out the financial implications of not being taxed and all that, and it was apples and apples financially playing over there, I mean, would you have any interest in being over there as a player?
As a player, absolutely not. No way. I mean, the first thing I think of it is family. I mean, you know, how do you? You know, you go over there and you're over there for 6 months or whatever, and you don't see your extended family. It'd be tough. I mean, you're gonna fly them over there. I mean, it's very inconvenient for the player. It would be very difficult, and I wouldn't enjoy that at all.
And I'll add one more thing. The reason I don't think I would, I think there'd be actually a lot of opportunities if you were a successful player over there in that market.
Yeah, that would be huge.
It'd be huge opportunities off the field, I think. But what I wouldn't like. You know what I like about playing football in the United States? It is the game. Over there, it's not the game.
Did you notice? All week long, we read the newspapers, and you didn't see articles every day about the game.
You would be
post-game, by the way, in the big papers over there, the Times. There was 6 pages into the sports. There was one article about the future of the NFL in London, but there was not a game story.
You would be third at best, probably fourth behind soccer, rugby, and cricket.
All right, and with that, we'll take a break. Folks, all opinions all the time here on Jaguars Thursday. Bring it. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. You're listening on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, hold on the London thing, since we are fresh back and it's the Jaguars bye week. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Mark's in Mandarin, pardon me, John is in Mandarin. Hello, John, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brian. Brian, I'm a longtime Jaguar fan, and I wore Mark's jersey when he played in the stadium. And I'm really, really concerned about what he said, and I'm also concerned about what I read on the apology. I didn't hear in the apology that what he said, his initial statement was wrong. I did hear him say he regretted it tonight, but, you know, as somebody that's going in the pride of the Jaguars next month, I'm just concerned that, you know, maybe it just didn't go far enough for the Jaguar fans. And for me.
Well, I can understand that, John. That was a careless comment. It was careless comments. It was insensitive. And if I could take it back, I would. And, that's it, John. I mean, it's...
What else is he supposed to say, I guess?
Wrong. That's all I wanted to hear.
He just said he would never say it.
You take it back, but is it wrong? It's wrong.
Listen, John. You know what? Let me tell you this. I love this community. I love this team, and I had an opportunity, like I said, to talk about all the great things about Jacksonville. And I, you know what? I missed it. I dropped it. Will it happen again? Absolutely not. Will there be other opportunities? You know, probably. That was like I said. It was. Wish I could have that one back.
Well, you keep saying you want to hear wrong. I mean, what is it that you really want?
I just want, well, again,
you, I mean, you I want somebody to give you a lock, stock, and barrel guarantee that this team will never go to London? Is that what you want?
I want to hear him say, I thought about it. After I thought about it, the statement was not correct. I don't believe, after more analysis and the situation, that... You know, the Jaguars really are probably not going to move to London.
And that's what you want. You want a guarantee, and there are no guarantees.
No, not a guarantee.
Well, want a guarantee, John. You wanted to say you're looking for a guarantee.
I don't want to jump on John here. I mean, because, you know, hey, I'm going to back John. I'm going to back John. I mean, I thought what Mark said was totally non-factual. I thought he had his facts wrong. And I agree with Mark. He had a great opportunity there. And he blew it. I give him a pass. I mean, it's the first time he's doing ESPN radio and all that. Hey, look, I didn't like it. I didn't like what you said, Mark. But I also understand you made a mistake. You know, hey, I've made mistakes before.
I never have.
You know?
We know that.
Of all the people
to
say,
I just want to make sure everyone knows
their,
I've never
their
made a
mouth has never made a mistake. Of you, of all people, are you really serious?
I can't recall one. Outside, yeah, I can. I said I was going to lose 7 pounds in London.
Yeah, right.
Can
that's
we
impossible.
Can
we've already gone over that.
Should we go to the J.J. Watt comment, you know?
No, let's keep on moving on. You know, but talking about London, you know, everyone says, why does, you know, the team want to go play in London? Why does the NFL want a team in London? I'm not sure it cares whether there's a permanent team in London or not. I think they're going to continue to play more games, which is proven they're going to play three next year. I think they'll continue to push the envelope to see the support and how it plays out. Ultimately, where the real value is to the NFL being over there is twofold. And the biggest one is this, is TV money. If they can play over there and get enough interest where Sky Sports, their ESPN, will sign a TV package. There's a very small one right now. They show some of the games.
Don't they show all the Jaguars games?
No, I don't know if they show all the Jaguars games.
I think they do.
Well, they show the prime time. But if there can be enough interest and enough viewers where the NFL goes to Sky Sport, hey, listen, there's X amount of viewers now. This is worth something. Because where is the money made in the United States?
Oh, it's the television.
It's
television.
Television
is number one.
Television is number one. And so if the league can get enough interest over there, whether they put a team there or not, maybe they play six games, seven games, I don't know what the end game is, and can get the TV dollars, that increases the revenue to the owners. And they split that evenly 32, which is also good for Jacksonville. The second thing is sponsorship dollars. By playing over there, you open an entire market to businesses that are open to paying some amount of sponsorship. Maybe it's a little bit now, but as it grows and the interest grows, listen, it's all about dollars and cents. If they can make money by advertising through the NFL, they're going to spend more money.
And I think what Shad Khan did, you know, right out of the gate, agreeing to be that first team that commits to 4 years, was brilliant. I mean, it was brilliant for the team. It was brilliant for the city of Jacksonville. I think he's more forward-thinking, and I think that will become more apparent the further along that this gets in the process. But, you know, the team cut a deal with the league. You know, it's not like they just said, hey, you need a willing partner. Hey, I'll do it. No, the team went into the league and said, hey, look, we'll do it, but here's what we want. You know, we want the game to fall in the middle of the season. We want a bye week to follow. We want some exclusivity as far as marketing goes.
They took on more of the risk. They want more of the
absolutely.
Reward.
I mean, and for all the people out there saying, ah, Shad Khan, he's got the Fulham Soccer Club and, you know, he wants to move the team over there. No, no. Shad Khan was in this country and raised in this country, not raised because he came here as a young man,
right?
But he was brought up in this country to football, appreciating American football, and he knows what American football means to the communities that they're in. But he also sees other opportunities elsewhere, and it's a great opportunity for this city and for this team.
All right, I guess and from my perspective, it didn't bother me. I guess because I've listened to what Mr. Khan has said, I know what they're doing here with the renovations, and I was on the plane with all those business leaders. I mean, I know
it was unbelievable.
And talking to them on the way back, you know, they were so confident in their ability to turn a couple of deals here in the next 3 to 6 months that would bring higher paying jobs, better jobs from other companies that, you know, some that do business here now and some that don't.
And who facilitated most of these meetings?
I mean, yes. So if you for all those people who were really upset, just go back and read what Mr. Khan has said and look at the things that have happened and then just realize that, you know, his words alone over the last couple of years since he's bought this team are enough for you to understand what he's doing.
Has he given anybody to have doubt, given them a reason to have doubt yet?
You know, there are some people who are going to doubt because they have been told for more than 10 years now, your team is leaving, your team is leaving, your team
is leaving.
But by
who?
Exactly. I didn't say it mattered who said it. What I'm saying is you do have a segment of the population that's a bit, you know, they get that little twitch when they hear about the LA thing over and over and over. And so you're always going to have a strong reaction from a smaller group of people. And so if you look at what Khan said and what he's done, right? Actions speak louder than words.
Yes.
Where he's spending, where he's offering his hand, where he's working with people, I wouldn't even worry about it, not in the least. So with that, we break for news at the bottom of the hour. You are listening on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. All right, here we go. Moving forward and looking at the final 2 months of the season. Jaguars obviously off this week and then return with a ball game in Nashville.
Here's
the schedule. Ready? How about this for the Jaguars? Three of the next four are on the road. They've only had three home games now. When they get home against the Cardinals through 10 games, they will have only been home three. But three of the next four are on the road at the Titans. The Cardinals are here, at the Texans, at the Browns. Then they get the Texans, Bills, and Titans in consecutive weeks. And then they finish at the Colts.
That's
so,
a good schedule.
Yeah, it's much more favorable just looking at it. My question to you is this team capable of improving enough to be able to take advantage of what's sitting
Absolutely.
Out there?
No question. Especially, you know, the bye week obviously comes at a really good time. You know, and the bye week, you guys know, I mean, it's sometimes when things aren't going, you just got to get away from it. You got to recharge your batteries, come back focused, ready to work, and I think the Jaguars will do just that.
Where?
The one difference, though, that the bye weeks nowadays are so different. You know, NFLPA now, you have a mandatory 4 days off. You know, so the players have 4 days off, period, no practice, no nothing.
Four consecutive days off.
Yes, and the only thing that they can do is if you have injured players, they come in for treatment. So, I mean, it's hard to get better in a bye week, you know, as far as on the field. I think the only way that you can get better is emotionally, by taking that break and coming back, like Mark said, you know, with your batteries recharged.
Do you think, and Gus gave his team yesterday off, so they're getting five consecutive days
I think they had, they worked out, though. They had to come in and work out, I believe.
That was Tuesday.
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. I was just going to ask about the extra time where you're not on the practice field for this football team.
Physically, I mean, it makes a world of difference. I mean, eight games, which really is 12 because you had four preseason games. I mean, your body is rough at this point. You know? And then when you come down, and it makes it feel rougher because you haven't gotten a win.
Right.
Oh, much rougher.
I mean, because when you're winning, it's all good. It's all good. And it's amazing how much healthier you get when you are winning.
So true.
Because guys are like, hey, you know, I want to be a part of this. I'm going to suck it up. You know, and for that reason, I give Gus Bradley and his staff some credit. Because going to London for the eighth game of the year, they had every player available on the roster. Every player. Physically ready to go. There was not one player that was questionable, nor doubtful, or out. So, being healthy is not going to be an excuse for this team in the second half of the season. It looks like they're going to have everybody.
All right, so they get the Titans twice. They get the Texans twice. Cardinals, Browns, Bills, right? I mean, not murderer's row. Do you see some wins in there?
I think the Titans are beatable. Yesterday I watched five or six games of them, and I think they're totally beatable. Chris Johnson is not anywhere near what he used to be. He's still the same back. He's hesitant. He's always looking for a home run. And that sometimes he's looking for a place to lay down. Jake Locker has improved.
He's a lot better.
He's improved.
He's playing well.
But, you know, his receiving options, I think, are very limited. Defensively, the Titans are solid, but they don't have anybody that scares you. I think the best player they have on defense is Jarrell Casey, the defensive tackle.
All right, so it comes back to the fact, can the Jaguars stop the run? Can they stop Chris Johnson? Because they haven't stopped the run yet this year. And can they get the running game going with Maurice Jones-Drew, or is that just going to be the way it is this year?
I think the interesting question about Maurice is will he be able to look like the Maurice of old? And
increasingly, that's not looking likely.
I thought he's been better the last couple weeks. But, you know, where's that Maurice that used to be a threat to go the distance every time he touched the ball? I think that player's gone.
What about the offensive line?
Better.
Surprise you?
Yeah. They've
gotten better?
Yeah, because I was, you know, when Luke Jokel got hurt and Eugene got traded, I was going, uh-oh, Austin's played well at right tackle. Cam Bradfield has been better at left tackle than certainly what he was early in the season and preseason, because there was a question mark whether he was going to make this team. But, I mean, I knew the guy has talent. I knew he had talent. And I think he's played better. But he's still got room to be better than what he is.
You watched the tape. You were here tonight watching the tape.
Yeah. Listen, for this team to win, listen, when you're at 0-8, there's not one you look at the schedule and say, oh, that's a win. I mean, there's just not. And when you're only rushing the ball for 66 yards a game and giving up 161, that's the biggest stat that has to change. If you want a chance to win ball games the second half, you have to play the run better. You can't be giving up 161. You can't be rushing for 66. I mean – that is a recipe for disaster. And so if this team's going to win, they got to play better on the front seven. We talked about that at length. They have to improve. Are there some favorable matchups? Sure. But at the end of the day, you got to go out and do it. You got to go out and perform. You got to get off blocks. You got to make plays. You got to play sound defense. And then running the ball. Listen, I think it's time to stop saying the Maurice of old. You know, Maurice just needs to keep on getting better, which he is. And you have to be productive in the run game and start being and you need to work in Todman and Denard Robinson. Obviously, Maurice is going to get the heaviest load. Play better up front. You got Mercedes back hopefully for all the last eight games. You're going to be better.
But he's not the Mercedes of old yet either.
No, he's not, but I'm saying you're better at that position as far as run blocking with Mercedes on the field. And so you hope the week off, if it helps anybody, it's to help Maurice Jones-Drew more than anybody. Rest the ankle. Give him another week. I remember back in 2000, coming off the torn ACL, I believe we had to buy the eighth week of that year as well. And the first seven games were awful. I mean, my knee hurt. I was playing okay and getting through it. But that bye week was huge for me. Didn't practice, rested in the last eight or nine games. My knee felt normal. And so you hope this week off will help Maurice with that foot.
Maurice, not just him now. Justin Blackman's had a hamstring. Cecil's had the SC joint.
I agree
with
all those, but Maurice is the guy who's older as far as age, and when you're older, it takes longer to get back, and that rest is so valuable. So I think we'll see a better Maurice Jones-Drew. Is Maurice going to be back to the guy who rushed for 1,600 yards and led the league in rushing this year? Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
I don't think that's even a probably. He's not. He's not going to be the same player this year, period.
We've seen him get incrementally better. Right? I mean, he's had a couple of games in a row. It was funny. Someone wrote, you know, he said two or three games in a row, you know, over 70 yards. I mean, we used to 70 yards.
He's been better, but I mean,
but how much
the speed is not the speed that he showed when he first got here and even up to what was the year he had led the league in rushing?
2011.
In 11. I don't think that guy is going to be back.
Okay.
I don't.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351.
I got a question for Mark because. With the wide receiving core, Justin Blackman, Cecil Shorts, and Mike Brown, give me a grade on those guys.
You know,
if you're the quarterback and you've got those three guys, how do you feel about them?
Well, I'll tell you what, I feel great about Justin. He's a special player, there's no question. I would give him an A. I'd give the other guys, you know, B minus, C plus, and you got to, you know, it's tough to grade a quarterback or a receiver when the quarterback play isn't where you want it to be. Could these guys have bigger numbers? Of course. Could these guys be just lighting it up, getting some big numbers? Absolutely. And I think it's a decent core. I think you got to find the ways to get the ball to Justin. Like I said, he has the ability to, you know, we saw a couple weeks ago where he had a great game, but you got to get him the ball.
Yeah, two weeks in a row now where hasn't been a dominant force.
Is that because teams are playing him differently or because his hamstring is just limiting him?
I don't know. It was almost as if after he had the big game against Denver that the next week they came out with the attitude, we think that all the attention is going to be paid on Justin. So we're gonna design some stuff to go to Cecil.
No, you got to go to your premier guy. You got to keep going to him and going to him. And you know what? The case for Calvin Johnson, they're going to keep throwing to him. He's going to keep getting doubled. He's going to get some safeties over the top, but they're going to find ways to get him the ball. You have to. He's the best player on offense. You've got to feed him the ball, and that's where Jed needs to come in and say, listen, we've got to be creative. You know, get some matchups where Justin is singled. We'll move him around. You know, we'll do some things that we haven't shown on film and find ways to get involved. You can do that, you know, but it takes a lot of creativity, and that is the job of the offensive coordinator.
But to that end, and I agree with both of you 100%, there were times, if you watch the tape, that he was open.
Yeah, he didn't get the ball, but in the one he did.
There was a time that he dropped a play that very well could have gone for a touchdown. Even early in the game, I believe it was that first drive, it was a contested ball, but that's a ball that Justin comes up with. And so, I mean, it's both. They need to design stuff to him. Quarterback's got to find him, and he's got to make the plays when they're there.
All right, let's break and come back and look at this weekend of the National Football League, including tonight's game in Miami, where Cincinnati takes on the Dolphins. All that and more when we return here to Jaguars Thursday on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, welcome back to see if some of these games catch your interest. What about Cincinnati at Miami tonight? Miami has been struggling the last couple of weeks after getting off to a good, to a 3-0 start. They've got problems on their offensive line now with Jonathan Martin having left the team. Yeah, so, but you get a Cincinnati team that...
They're hot.
Yeah, and they're very talented.
And they're going to win by 2 touchdowns.
Wow, you think so?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, I like Cincinnati and that. Miami's offensive line. Jonathan Martin leaving the team. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I guess some players said something to him, and then he's gone.
Well, then he posted something on Facebook today. I was reading online. I can't remember who reported it, but that he said, don't believe everything you read.
Pro Football Talk had that.
Pro Football Talk.
But either way, he's not there.
No, he's not there. I guess it's a mental issue.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go too far because I don't know
the rumor. So.
Mental breakdown was the first word I read about that. I went chasing it, and I didn't get anything technical. But he's not there. I haven't watched the quarterback. I haven't seen Miami. So I'm going to watch with interest tonight to see how Tannehill plays.
Didn't Andy Dalton just have, like, the best game in Bengals history?
Yeah, 5 touchdown passes last week.
Yeah, they're starting to think that he's then, turned a corner and is
ready
to go.
Remember when Pete and you and I talked about this? I said Mike Wallace was not a good signing?
Yeah.
He's done nothing.
No, nothing at all. And he got big money.
Yeah, I wouldn't ever assign him as my number one.
All right.
I think Brian Hartline has better numbers than he does.
Well, he does. Absolutely. Kansas City. At Buffalo this week. Kansas City undefeated.
I can see this being one they lose, though.
Yeah, Buffalo's been playing well now.
Playing tough.
I mean, with who at quarterback? Thaddeus Lewis?
Yeah.
Now, listen.
Who?
And Kansas City's not going undefeated.
No, I wouldn't think so.
That's
no.
my point. And so, long road trip, you know, Buffalo, you know, those
They've
fans are going.
They got Denver twice, San Diego twice, Oakland twice.
I'm going to pick Kansas City. But I think it's a close game because every game Kansas City plays is close because they play very conservative offense and great defense.
Has Buffalo not played a close game this year?
I think you're right. I think they've
been close. Good.
Atlanta is at Carolina.
Boy, what a disappointment, Smitty. Wow. Is Smitty in trouble up there?
No. Listen, two-time coach of the year.
I understand that, but
has not had a losing season since being the head coach.
The rumors were last year that if he didn't win the first playoff game, they were going to make a change.
Don't have to worry about that now.
Well, yeah, but you're also 2-5, 2-6.
They're
2-5. They had a bye week already.
I haven't seen the Falcons.
No, I wouldn't fire Smitty. I'm not saying that. But that's .
But why are they? I mean, you haven't had Roddy White for most of the year, and Julio Jones is gone.
Here's the reason.
Okay,
Julio Jones is gone, and the trade that everyone said was a great trade, and at the time it worked out. You mortgaged a lot, and you got rid of a lot of picks that you could have built that defense, and they're not very good on defense. They had no pass rusher. They got rid of John Abraham, and they weren't great rushing the passer last year.
OCU Manure is not
Not doing
fire.
Anything. I thought that was a mistake. Now, I'm not saying Abraham much left in him, but they're not great up front. They lose Corey Bierman. That hurt. He's a work pale type of guy, hard player. They're average in the secondary. I mean, they're just an average defense. They built that offense.
If they get rid of Smitty, that's a mistake.
Huge mistake.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
Coach. Right, that's ridiculous.
Here's a question I always wanted to know. Is Matt Ryan, is he good?
Yes.
Matt is good. He's not playing very well, but he's a good quarterback.
He's really
and
good.
He just, I mean, he's.
I mean, they paid him like he's an elite quarterback.
He is not an elite quarterback.
Oh, I disagree. I think he is elite. Go watch him last year.
Elite top five?
No way.
The league, no chance.
No
he is
way,
not
Tony. You're an astronaut.
I didn't say.
I've never heard that one.
It was his own term.
You should have heard the first hour. Yeah. Then.
That's awesome.
I was Gus Bradley on the coach's show. No, I'm not saying top five, but in today's league, if you're a top 10 quarterback, you're going to make a $100 million contract. And he is a top 10 quarterback. Go watch what he did last year.
But he's not elite.
Well, how do you define elite?
Top five.
When you got Julio Jones and Roddy White.
I know that's how you define it.
They had the best record in the NFC.
Can you imagine if Drew Brees had Roddy White and Julio Jones and Tony Gonzalez, the kind of numbers he put up?
I know. He has this terrible guy named Jimmy Graham, just the best tight end in football. He's really awful.
Yeah, but they don't have Julio Jones or Roddy White.
And that's Jimmy's all they have. They've got some.
Colston's a good player.
He's a solid, good player.
He's just a good player.
Jimmy Graham is a superstar.
He's a beast. There's no question.
He's a great player.
I like Matt Ryan. I don't know whether he's elite or not, but I sure like him here.
Well, I'll say this. He's okay. Let me ask you a question. How many franchises outside of the guys who have the top
would like to have him?
Would like to have him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. He's one of the premier quarterbacks in the league.
You know, I go back to the last time I really watched him play was that when he beat Jacksonville in the first game after Shad Khan had been confirmed as the owner in 2011. And I mean, all over the field. I mean, I think he's a terrific quarterback.
I did a number of Atlanta games last year, watched him firsthand. Watched a lot of tape getting ready to cover their games. He is outstanding.
But he's not in the class of Manning, Brady, Breeze.
If he wins,
great.
Philip Rivers.
If he ever wins a title,
Philip Rivers, he's just as good as Philip Rivers, maybe better.
Philip Rivers is a second-rated quarterback in the league this year.
I'm saying over the last 3 or 4 years, I'll take Matt Ryan before Philip Rivers, and I love Philip Rivers.
All right, couple more games, plenty more games. Minnesota at Dallas. Dallas coming off that stinging loss to Matt Stafford and the Lions last week.
The Vikings are terrible.
Minnesota's got major issues. Who's starting a quarterback for them?
I think Freeman. Freeman, they announced Freeman.
Did they announce it today? Because I was reading earlier in the Minnesota papers this morning that they were thinking Ponder might go.
Oh, I thought I read online it was Freeman, but who knows? Yeah.
Either way, they're not winning.
Yeah, it's not good.
They're 1-6, no chance.
New Orleans at the Jets.
Oh, that's going to be a closer ball game than most people think. I think the Saints get them. You know what? I think the defense, Rex Ryan, they're not what they used to be, but they can create some protection issues with their blitz schemes. I think it'd be a good football game. It's at New York.
Drew Brees is going to eat them up.
Drew Brees, yeah. I mean, he'll have his numbers, really comes down to how Geno plays, their quarterback. If he doesn't make mistakes, then it could be a ball game.
I think the Jets win.
Really?
All right.
Cool.
Tennessee at St. Louis.
Throw it out there.
Have an opinion. Tennessee at St. Louis.
I think St. Louis is going to win.
Boy, who with Clemens?
Not with Clemens.
No,
you don't think the Titans are that much? Huh?
I don't think the Titans are that good. Well, I don't.
Locker's playing well.
I do too. I think Locker's
been playing well, but he's
go look at before Locker got hurt, and I know he didn't play. They didn't play great against San Francisco, who's a very good team. That was a Tennessee team played some really good teams, really tight. Should have beat Houston. Now that Houston's not great, but Jake Locker, I watched him on tape. I'm like, man, this is a different cat from what he's been the first few years. I think Tennessee wins that game because I think St. Louis is in a world of hurt.
You know,
listen, they were trying to go get Brett Favre. That's all you need to know.
You talk about a vote of confidence for Kellen Clemens. we're going to try to get Brett Favre. He said, no, we're going to settle for you, Kellen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he struggled last week.
How about this? 2 weeks ago, San Diego was here. Then they go home for the bye week. Now they're on the East Coast again to take on Washington.
The Washington Redskins.
Don't say that's a bad word.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did it again.
I didn't take it away because, no.
Here comes the Twitter from the people in D.C.
San Diego.
Philip Rivers, huh?
Yeah. Washington's got a lot to prove. Their defense not very good.
Nope. No.
Here's a matchup of teams that maybe make sense. Philadelphia at Oakland.
Yes. Oakland.
I like Oakland, too.
I do, too. The experiment has failed.
I think Chip Kelly will be coaching college football next year.
How many yards rushing will Terrell Pryor
have? If not next
year,
the year after.
Terrell Pryor may go for over 100.
And he'll only throw for 48, though.
Yes. That's okay. That's his plain to strength.
But they'll win.
We got 90 seconds left. I know what you think of Tampa Bay at Seattle. Yeah. Baltimore, Cleveland?
I like Cleveland. That defense is really good.
Baltimore's 3-4.
Joe Flacco is 11-0 versus the Cleveland Browns.
Is Joe Flacco elite?
He was last year.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, but he's one of those guys that when you mention elite quarterbacks,
he's in that class of Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan is better than Joe Flacco.
Okay. Mm,
you think so?
I don't think so.
Boy, this is a whole show in and of itself for the offseason.
Who do you think, Mark? Who's better? If you're the coach, head coach, who do you want?
You know what? If I want Matt Ryan. I want Matt Ryan.
You dumb defensive end. I think
Joe Flacco
is talking about.
Throws a pretty ball. Though.
He does throw a pretty ball.
Yeah,
his deep balls are special.
He just seems like just too much of a manager. You know, he just seems like a manager to me. Where I think Matt Ryan, he will make plays down the field with his arm.
Pittsburgh at New England. One word answers.
New England.
Indianapolis at Houston.
Indianapolis.
Easy one.
Houston.
Oh, no.
You're crazy.
Chicago at Green Bay.
Green Bay.
At Green Bay.
All right. Guys, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
See ya.
Have a great night, everybody. Enjoy the bye weekend.